This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. This is Rich Baum in Sacramento, California.
And Brian Berkowitz here in New York. What's going on, Rich?
Yeah, not much. How's it going on? And more importantly, how's it going on for you in the winter, the winter of whatever year this
of
is,
hell.
Whatever of hell. Oh my gosh, what you got going on there?
It's the winter of hell for New York. I mean, I guess I shouldn't complain with what's going on in different parts of the country now, but yeah, it's been rough. I mean, I think this is the most snow we've had in like 15 or 16 years, so it's been pretty bad here.
How much snow do you have? Like this much or this much?
No. Every time a little bit melts. Like we had 8 inches today. So every time
it's substantial.
Time it melts a little bit. I think this was our worst February in like 20 years, something like that. So it's been fun, but we're almost done. We're almost done. Thank God. It's brutal.
And work's going great. I don't know about you, but I've been very busy this year in 2021, and we've been doing really well. So how about you in the Eastern circumference of the world?
Yeah, as I've said before, my January was really bumping. My February slowed down a bit, but I got a couple of jobs coming in for the next few weeks. So I think the tables of the winter are starting to turn a little bit as spring is, you know, just what, 3-4 weeks away. Yeah. So hopefully things will pick up. So we'll see. Yeah. And, you know, look, this is our last episode of the season. So, you know, it's exciting. It's exciting that you and I can now focus a little bit more for a few weeks on our own stuff. And as things start picking up in our own businesses, we have a little bit break from here, and then we'll come back once we're kind of in the groove of things with our business again. We'll come back strong in a couple of weeks. So
great. So let me get into this with a little thank you to our sponsor, HD Photo Hub. We have HD Photo Hub is a real estate photographer's business platform for collection, online ordering, selection, scheduling, photo delivery, photo website, and more with tons of new features. If you haven't seen it lately, take a look today at HDPhotoHub.com. That's HDPhotoHub.com.
Awesome. Thanks, Rich. And let's get right into it, because there's a lot to discuss today. I'd like to welcome our guest, Natalia Robert, who's in the last, I guess, few months, Natalia, you've been all over the place. So from PFRE to Clubhouse. I see you everywhere in Clubhouse now, to Clubhouse to, you have your own course coming out, and we'll get to all of it. So thanks for coming on. And why don't you give us the quick 30-second version of who you are, where people can find you, and all that.
Absolutely. Hey, Rich. Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me on today. I'm excited to have a longer chat with you guys today. So I'm an interior photographer based out of Southern California. I'm out of Greater San Diego area. And I'm also the founder of The Grove Studio, which is a resource hub and community focusing on giving support and education to women in interior photography. And it's been an interesting year. Like you said, I feel like I've been all over the place. So the photography is still going, but Grove Studio has definitely been growing. We have a community of almost 400 women on Facebook, and it's been fantastic getting to connect with women all over the world.
Awesome. So I guess we'll just start with that. Speaking of the Grove. So I guess you started a little while ago, and what exactly is it? Is it just a Facebook community? Is it, I know your course is involved with it somehow. So what's the best way to explain the Grove Studio?
Honestly, I'm still sort of searching for the right words, because it's been an evolving thing. It started as me wanting to put out some courses or digital downloads to help women who are starting in architectural and interior photography. And that came from me not feeling like I had resources that I could relate to or pull from when I was starting. What started as me putting my own materials out there for sale kind of turned into more of a movement that was supporting women in this field. And that happened when many other women were so happy to find me. And the Facebook group sort of started separately from the Grove Studio. It started as me just trying to find other women doing what I do, just to make friends, just to find other women to relate to. And it turned into a really strong community. And because it's all women, it just naturally overlapped a lot with Grove Studio. So it's now kind of been enveloped by Grove Studio as part of its brand. And I'm kind of just going with it. I'm seeing the need for it. The women are loving it. And my educational material is still on there. You mentioned the course coming out, but really the heart and soul of it has become the community of women. So I'm still sort of searching for the words. I call it a hub for females in interior photography. That's kind of the best I've been able to come up with so far.
And how do we find that on the web? What is it? Is it the grove.com or what are we doing there?
I wish. I searched around forever.
It's not for you, Rich. For women it's only. Okay.
I want to learn more about it. So can I find out?
Everyone's welcome to it. So the website is meetmeatthegrove.com. And
I just found it. It's good, great. Yeah.
Good. There are a bunch of articles, and there are actually a fair number of men that are part of the newsletter and that interact with me on Instagram and in the clubhouse rooms and all of that. The only space, so the guys are welcome, the only space that's really sacred and kind of held just for women is the Facebook group. But other than that, it's for anybody who just resonates with the mission or the tone of the educational materials that are on there.
Oh. So meet me at thegrove.com. That sounds appropriate. Excellent. It's really cool. I like the colors, the fonts, and the I'm sure I'll get into the dialogue of it once I get there. But thank you so much.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So you just mentioned Clubhouse. Let's talk about that for a little while. And I know, Rich, you're not on Clubhouse.
I am not.
I've been texting you for like 4 weeks. Like, Rich, let me send you an invite for Clubhouse. And you're like, I don't want to get involved. I don't need it.
I don't know if I need another thing to get into. But how do you do it? What is it about?
I know Natalia, you're doing these happy hour things. I see them pop up on my notifications all the time. I don't know if they're women only. I did go to one of your rooms and it seemed like it was women only. Not women only that can join, but on stage. But Rich, Clubhouse is basically an audio only Zoom call, I guess is the best way to do it, to say it. It's kind of audio only where you have people start a room and anyone who wants to can come in, join and listen. And it's interactive. So if someone wants to ask a question of the speaker, they come up on the virtual stage and they can speak. So it's pretty cool. You should come in. And even if you don't want to, you know, start a room or preach the Rich Baum, Bible, you can just come in and listen and see what other people have to say. So
I was very hesitant to jump into the Clubhouse bandwagon, so to speak. And I still restrain myself quite a bit, but there are actually a lot of really great conversations going on there. So even if you're just kind of peeking into some of the chat rooms, I encourage people to get an account on it and just pop in every once in a while. There have been a lot of really great chats.
Rich, I'm going to send you an invite when we finish recording this and you don't have to join.
I'd like it. You know, my hesitance is to jump into another platform. And, you know, that's really tough for me. And I know that, Brian, don't worry, not only you and Natalia, but many people have said, get into the new thing. And I'm just like, oh man, I just don't know if I have the time to use that to my advantage. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of listen when I'm in the car on the way to shoots mostly, where you can just, you know, right before I leave, I just find a room that's going on. If it's something that interests me, put it on my speakers and just listen. And even if I want to chime in, I mean, it works over my Bluetooth in my car. So I don't feel like, because it's audio only and not visual, you don't feel like you're missing out on anything by not being able to see my screen. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah, I listen to it in the mornings and just kind of pop into whatever room happens to be going on at that time. but it's really nice. If you start moderating the rooms, then it gets a little bit more, it gets to be more of a commitment. Yeah. But if you're just popping in to listen, it's really nice to be able to go in and out of conversations just, you know, for as little or as long as you want.
Yeah, and I really like your page,
Rich is like, get us off of Clubhouse conversation now.
It's not that bad. No, but I really like the way you've set up your website and the colors and everything about it. So I think it's very appealing.
Thank you. It's a very, it's blood, sweat, and tears.
Hopefully not too many tears.
Depends on the day. It's gone through a lot of evolutions.
For those who didn't hear, you also, you were a PFRE speaker. You had two separate presentations. One was on women in the industry, correct?
Yeah, it was just kind of shedding a little bit of light on some challenges, some benefits to being a woman in this field, because there are actually quite a few women who are shooting spaces, whether it's for real estate or for interiors or architects.
No pun intended.
Pun very much intended, okay. Actually. But there isn't a ton of representation. And so I wanted to kind of bring the topic of women a little bit more to the surface and get the conversation started. And it was interesting putting that together, actually, because I got to do some research. I always love finding some statistics to start out with. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about how women just kind of fall off the career path very easily early on. And that seems to be because of a lack of support systems. So that became a big part of the mission for Grove Studio. So it was educational for me, and hopefully a lot of people enjoyed it too.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't listen to that one, but I did listen to your other one, which was marketing to interior designers and the soft sell, which I actually found quite intriguing and helpful. So that being said, and I don't want to sort of put you on the spot, but, you know, given the fact that this is the last episode of the season and we want to give listeners something to like take away with them for the next few weeks, can you give us, you know, one, two or three little tidbits of marketing advice for people that maybe want to go after interior designers and something they might be able to implement over the next couple of weeks to kind of market or even not necessarily something specific, but talk about, you know, the soft sell and that whole process as a different mindset of marketing?
Yeah. So the approach that I really enjoy for interior designers is because I hate to go back to gender, but because it's so female dominated, it's very heavy on relationships. It's relationship building. It's kind of really building that trust and that connection. So that's where the soft skills come in, being able to really work on the client relations and slowly building up a relationship and trust, which builds loyal clients, which builds repeat clients and natural referrals. So if I had to mention a couple of tips, I would say getting into their world as much as possible is really helpful. And listening to some of the podcasts or following some of the accounts that are for the interior designers, I feel like you get a chance to kind of get into their head and see more of what they need, more of what they might be looking for from you. One thing that's come up in conversation recently on Clubhouse, and I think also on Facebook a couple of times too, is this idea that it seems like a lot of interior designers have more of the mentality of wanting more of an all-inclusive price, versus when you're working with architects and it's very much a per photo sort of approach. And that's something I've been thinking about for my own pricing, because it's based on number of photos. I've been learning about folks with more experience with interior designers who price the project and include a bigger bundle of photos, and how interior designers are commenting that they actually love that because it helps them budget, because there's no surprises. So getting those insights, I think, is invaluable to being able to connect with them and work with them.
Yeah, no, that's what you're saying is dead on, because I've actually adapted that. And we've never, Natalia, we speak every so often. We're in a mastermind group together, but we've never spoken about this. But I actually adapted a pricing model similar to that a couple of months ago, where for my architect clients or my commercial clients, I do charge a creative day rate type of fee plus per image. But for designers, I do an all flat out all in one fee where I don't break it up for them, because I think it gets too complicated and too tricky, and they don't want to deal with they don't want to start penny pinching. Well, if I take one more shot, they might have to pay more. Like, it's just easier to say, this is the price, you have me for the day, we'll shoot as much as we can.
Exactly.
And I never put a number on it, because you never know what you're walking into unless you do a scout. But I say, look, we're going to shoot as much as we can during the day, and that's it. You'll get as much as we shoot. So.
Exactly. And another thing, similar topic, another thing that I've been finding that's a little bit different is interior designers often have an approach of really wanting their photos to be able to spread on Instagram and really wanting those third parties to be able to share on social media. And so that one I don't really have a solution for, because that's a very tricky situation and can be a very slippery slope of kind of losing track of your images. But it's really good to know that they come in with this need and this desire to be able to let the photo spread more than you normally would. So, it brings into consideration things like, should there be an option of adding on a large fee to allow third parties to use on social? Some sort of solution that allows for that. But just knowing that they have these concerns or that they want these things to be able to happen or be able to be part of the service is a huge help.
Awesome. So, let's kind of, I guess, take a step back a little bit and just talk about you and your work and what you do, because we kind of just jumped into so many things at once, I guess, because of the Grove, because you started with that. But so you're exclusively an interior design photographer, is that correct? You don't do real estate, you don't do architectural, you do dabble. What's where do you
I
where do you
mean,
stand?
it's never 100% of any one thing, is it? I would say about 90% of what I shoot is for residential interior designers. And there is the very occasional work with an architect or a builder. It's if it usually it's more of an architect than a builder. I haven't shot with a builder in quite a while. Real estate, I don't typically do at all unless it's occasional vacation rental. I actually really enjoy shooting vacation rentals. So every once in a while, I'll do a couple of those. But 90% is residential interiors. I really love it. That's where my heart is.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's fun. It's its own unique thing. I'm in a point of my career where I'm going more commercial. I don't know the reason, but I'm kind of getting over going into people's houses. Maybe just the real estate side of me doing it for so many years wore me out to that. But especially nowadays, where a lot of these commercial spaces are empty because no one's in there, it just makes things a lot easier. And there's two or three of us on site, and you don't have to deal with a homeowner and stuff like that. So, but you can create awesome work, so it's fun. And I've been following your work for a while, so you
Thank
do an
you.
excellent job at it. And you use a combination of natural light and flash depending on situation, right? So you're not exclusively one or the other.
Right. I like to depend on natural light as much as I can, but more often than not, I tend to put in a flash shot in there to blend in and kind of give a little bit of definition and a little bit more kind of polish to the image.
Let me ask you, Natalia, and I can totally appreciate not wanting the client there, and I want things like that, trying to curtail or change your method of how you work to your advantage. And I think that is a big thing with us, is to have a certain amount of customer or the homeowner or whatever their input towards this. But are you just finding yourself to get into a rhythm, and now you have something to say, and you are going, okay, I'm unable to work with you, and unable to do certain things, or do you, have you really put the clamps down on what you're doing and your how you, your method of how you work?
In terms of the types of shoots that I want to do?
In general, just if you're working for a designer or you're working for a realtor or whatever, what's your method of clarification of expectations? To, do you have a conversation with them, or is it just worked itself out to be the way it is?
Sure. So whenever I'm first talking with a potential client, I love to walk them through my process, and I don't get technical as far as like lighting or anything like that, but I do walk them through sort of what their experience of the whole process will be working with me. And that's more just so that they know what they're getting into. And I say, this is my process. This is how I work. I like to keep it simple. And I tell them, step one, this is going to happen. Step two, that's all for me. That's part of keeping everything very collaborative and transparent. And I really love keeping that communication open. That goes back to really creating more of that trust and that relationship with them and really bringing them into the process with me. And as far as on the shoot itself, I mean, I've been fortunate maybe, but the vast majority of my clients have really trusted in me and trusted that I kind of know what I'm doing. They see my work. They're happy with it. I think because we have that conversation at the beginning, they know like, oh, she knows what she's doing. She's got it down. She's a pro. She's done this before. And so there's never really been a moment of kind of having any sort of clash or having to kind of enforce any method or anything like that. It's thankfully always been really smooth sailing, but there's a very definite conversation at the beginning when I give my rates and when I kind of break, I talk about the licensing and then I talk about my process of what they can expect. And I think that helps a lot.
And is that done before you get on the shoot and in your preparation for your original deal?
That's done before any contract is signed. So
well put.
Yeah, it's done before anything is official, before any date is set or anything. I send that together with my rates. So if I need to gather more information, I might respond to their inquiry and have questions for them and just get clarity on what they need, what the project involves. But when I send my rates, part of that is also walking them through my process and saying, these are the steps. This is what you can expect to happen.
And let me ask you one last thing. Are you tethered so your clients can see what you're doing on an iPad or a laptop? What's your feelings to that?
I'm a big, big fan of wireless tethering to an iPad. And my clients consistently just rave about it. They love it. They love getting involved. They love seeing that magic on the screen.
They can't imagine working without tethering in the future ever. Never. Done.
Me either. Me either. And I can't imagine being on a cable. Like for me, it has to be wireless. I have to be able to walk around with that. Yeah. It brings them into the process with you. It brings them into that photo shoot and they participate, which has been a really huge benefit.
Are you using the CamRanger?
I am. I'm still on CamRanger 1. I haven't needed to go to the second one, and that thing is still going. I love it.
Have you used the CamRanger Share app?
I have. I started to because with COVID, I had to shift things up and I got a second iPad. So now one iPad is exclusively for my client and one's exclusively for me, and they get the Cam Share one.
Yeah, that's what I started doing also. It's great because I use an iPad mini, which I had for my real estate work. And when I'm shooting design or architectural work, I'll shoot with the iPad Pro. I have the 13 inch. So now I'll give them on site the mini and let them just carry it around with them all day. It's great.
It's great as long as you're not a Sony user. Oh my God. You can't use the Share app with Sony.
Oh no,
it's insane. It's crazy.
You shoot with Canon, Natalia?
I do. I'm comfortable with Canon, so I'm a Canon girl still. I heard I heard that the CamRanger Mini does not allow use of CamShare. that's one of the limitations.
Not sure, to be honest. Never used it, but.
That was someone that I was talking to on Clubhouse, actually, recently was talking about CamShare or the CamRanger Mini, and they were not able to use CamShare with that. So that would be a big bummer for me.
Interesting. Anyway, before we continue on, I'm just going to give a quick message from our friends at iGUIDE. Looking for ways to expand your real estate photography business? iGUIDE's new camera system makes it easier and more affordable to quickly capture and create 3D tours, accurate floor plans, room measurements, and square footage calculations. Pre-order the new iGUIDE system before April 5th and get free processing on 10 standard iGUIDEs up to 3,000 square feet and an extended 2-year warranty. Visit goiGUIDE.com to learn more about this promotional offer. There we go. Slipped up the last word. Anyway, Rich, I'm going to go right now and I'm going to invite you to Clubhouse. Sorry,
I'll be honest with you. I've got so many platforms I'm on. Am I ready to include a new platform? But it seems like I should.
Look, the cool thing that Natalia said is you don't have to go on there and be active and give out content. You can just go in there and listen to conversations about the industry as a listener and just.
It's very non-committal. It's great.
Is this the next step of Facebook? It's like Facebook going under and you're going to do Clubhouse and do something else.
It's really different though. It's not like Facebook is much more, you know, the status updates and it's much more visual. You can share links. Like you can't share links or updates or anything like that on Clubhouse. I was describing it to somebody as it's kind of like you're sitting in, you're browsing podcasts and you're popping into podcasts, but they're live. So it's all audio, these conversations, and you can pop in and out of them and you can participate or you can just listen.
Definitely check it out. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, the cool thing I like about it, is that it's live and it's not recorded. So after the room is over, like that's it. There are ways to kind of hack the system and record, but once it's over, that's gone forever and no one can re-listen to it. So,
although I've seen a few rooms that say recording.
Yeah.
And so I think they're trying it out as a possible feature for the future.
I don't think you can record through the Clubhouse app. I think you have to use one of the hacks, but I think
it's in the app, like in the title of the room, it'll say recording.
No, I think they just named the room like that because I think the terms of Clubhouse are if you record it, you have to let everybody know that it's being recorded by putting it in the title of the room.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
So whoever starts the room ends the room name with the word recorded. So people, I'm pretty sure that's how it goes. But
got it. I mean, it's still so new that they seem to be trying out different things and expanding constantly.
I hear. All right, let's get back off of Clubhouse because we're making Rich anxious.
Rich, we're going to have you moderate.
Not at all. Not at all. I'm actually enjoying it. I'm as contrary to popular belief, I am into new technology and I like to see new things. I've just got so much stuff going on. It's crazy. Crazy. Remember Crazy Eddie, Brian?
I was born and raised in New York. So,
Natalia, you know who Crazy Eddie was?
I don't.
Crazy Eddie.
Google Crazy Eddie. Crazy Eddie was a guy for all those who are like, what is Rich? How do you know about Crazy Eddie, Rich? You weren't in New York in the 80s and 90s.
It was just Crazy Eddie. It was an
appliance store that had these ads. This guy was he was crazy and he would just
Crazy Eddie.
He would scream into the camera for commercials. That's what he would do. You can Google Crazy Eddie commercials and you'll see them.
He was all over,
you know, TV and radio in the late 80s and 90s for me growing up. And it must have been earlier mid-90s. I mean, the guy got arrested and went to jail for tax fraud or something, and he was in jail for years and years. And it was the biggest scandal. That's the whole thing with Crazy Eddie, was that he was crazy, and then he just got sent off to the camp.
Crazy Eddie.
Sent off to the crazy place. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So let's get back on track.
Oh my
here.
Gosh.
But, digress. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll post in the show notes some links to Crazy Eddie. So everyone gets it.
I see he's got some commercials that are on YouTube, so I'll be watching those later.
Yeah. And then you can read his story about Crazy Eddie going to jail. It's fun. Anyway, you got a course coming out. Let's talk about that.
I do. It's
that's out today, actually.
Yes, that's right. Today's actually the launch day for it. So it's very exciting. It's a long time in the making. When I first started putting together any kind of courses, I wanted to kind of simplify the whole process of interior photography and include the business side of things too, not just the editing, not just lighting. And so there's a course that's been out for, I think close to a year now, that is kind of a deep dive into the editing process for interiors. But this new one that just released today, it's about the actual photo shoot process. So it's basically everything from when you arrive on location to when you pack up your stuff to leave. And I wanted to release this one next because after editing, the most questions I get are about the actual photo shoot. So either, you know, where do you point the flash to bounce the light? How do you use the light so that you don't get glare for the views? How do you work with the client, or composition questions and styling? How do you prep the space? So we go over all of that stuff from workflow, client relations. We talk about gear, kind of what the basics are that you need and some extras that you might want to consider. We talk about composition, styling, lighting, and then I throw in some tricky situations like reflections in the mirror or glare on a shower enclosure, or what's the other one I throw in there? I think the art glare. So a glare on artwork, just to give people some tools on how to deal with those situations when they pop up, because sometimes there are easy solutions for them and you're just not seeing them on the spot. So yeah, I'm really excited about this new course.
Cool. And, you know, you sent me one of the videos to watch. And what I liked about it was how simple it is to just kind of watch and comprehend. It's not technical. It's not scientific. It's very, you know, this is what I do. This is my process. If you like the work I'm doing, this will get you similar results type of thing. So it's very bare boned and not too complex for anybody who's interested in maybe shifting from, you know, real estate to interior design. And as far, Rich, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think there are any courses that are primarily focused on interior design photography. It's mostly, you know, real estate or architectural, but there isn't much out there just for interior design, and maybe just stepping up your game from real estate to interior design, which is not such a big drastic step up.
And I absolutely, and I think that there is certainly room for a better tutorial out there. And one day I'll do my tutorial out there, and then Natalia, I'll be out there gunning for you. But no, I just think you know what? I think it's really an open market, because everybody out there needs to get information, and they need to really internalize it and understand it. So that's where we're all at. We're all trying to get to the same goal and do it. And some of us have learned on our own, and some of us also have the opportunity to check it out. And you've got the ultimate guide to shooting interiors photography?
Yeah. That's the name of it.
Masterclass. Great. Awesome.
Yeah. So the masterclasses are kind of the more meaty material, because I have other downloadables on there. I have a contract bundle, and I have some presets and some email templates. But the courses, the masterclasses, are that's when we do a bit of more of a deeper dive. And I love what you brought up, Brian, because you basically said exactly why I wanted to make this course and make it the way it is. there wasn't really a whole lot out there talking about working with interior designers, and it is kind of its own weird little niche that's a little slightly different than working with architects, slightly different than real estate. And there wasn't really much out there for that. And the other thing is, there have been so many times, and I've talked with countless women who feel the same way, where we watch a YouTube video or we watch a tutorial and it feels so complicated, but then once you actually follow the steps, you're like, oh, that was actually so simple. Why did they say it that way? It's so basic. So I really love the idea of just using plain everyday language, making it as simple and approachable and doable as possible, and getting people that foundation. So it really is geared to folks who are kind of in those first 2 years or so where they are building that experience, or they've started with real estate, but they really want to up the game a little bit and work with designers. But yeah, it's all about filling that gap and making it as easy to digest and follow as possible.
Cool. And the other thing I really liked is you kind of took the nowadays typical course format, which is all video, and you kind of flip with supplemental documentation and flipped it over. So your course, the basis for your course is more of a workbook style, I guess PDF, where people can print it or use it on their iPad on the go, whatever they want to do with it, with supplemental videos to accompany the workbook.
Right. And I love the video courses, but I always kind of felt like I wished there was something that could be more kind of tangible that I could take with it or print out or scribble notes on. And so I wanted to start with a workbook. It helps me organize the material and it gives people something to be able to print, or there's a section that has kind of a shot list of the different types of shots for interiors. They can print that stuff out and take it with them, or they can print it all out and write notes. And the videos, you have a little cue in the workbook of wherever the videos pop up. And the idea really is that the videos are going to cover pretty much everything in the workbook, but I really want people to have something that can be tangible and like a hard copy of something they can walk away with.
Yeah. And look, this is going to sound silly, but I think you're looking at your workbook, one of the best features is that the first page is a table of contents. Because if you print the whole thing out and you have it on the job and there's something you need to refer back to, and you know, you want to like sneak it into the bathroom so you're not like looking at a cheat sheet in front of your client, like, you know, you can just look, you know, what page is that on, and not have to sift through whatever it is, 40, 50 pages to find what you need. And you can just quickly, you know, look at your shot list and run back out. So.
Exactly. Sometimes those little basics are super helpful. So yeah, I had to include a table of contents in there to help.
Yeah, it sounds like it's well thought out, though. And, you know, Natalia, you have obviously, you know, thought of what would the end user like to, would help them. And that's the bottom line is, you know, how can we help the end user and the person coming into this business to try and make sense of this? Because God knows it's so difficult. It really, at the beginning, it's so complicated, and it really isn't, you know, one thing. Do you agree that it really isn't that difficult? Once you really lay the foundation.
It seems like there's a lot of smoke and mirrors, but when you pull that curtain back, it's really not that hard. It's really not that crazy complicated. And the funny thing is I'm seeing, I think in the beginning, a lot of photographers get caught up with the lighting and they're obsessed about this lighting and it's so complicated. It's so hard. But then it seems like a lot of us get a grasp on the lighting and then we tend to kind of circle back and say, you know what? I really want to use pretty much all natural light and then like barely use artificial lighting. But there's sort of these kind of stumbling blocks in the beginning where I think we just get in our own way. So yeah, a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Well, there's so many, gosh, it is so involved. Let's just put it that way. It's not complicated. It's involved. Yeah. There's so many obstacles in the way, and a person that's new to this can easily get sidetracked into just going, I can't do this. But yeah. as we know, and as my success, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I think it's really just you have to internalize the concepts. And once you do that, it's really quite manageable and quite easy to do.
Totally. I'm a big fan of people having more tools in their back pocket, so to speak. So if you can just kind of pick up tools and know ways to do stuff or work around situations, then you're going to be able to handle different things on location with your client. And my goal is always to kind of give people these little tips and tools to help them when they have what they think are really tricky situations that maybe aren't that tough. Cause a lot of it is, yeah, it's not complicated. It's just layered and nuanced. And then also there are maybe because of the commercial aspect to it, because we're dealing with business owners and different needs, but there's not a lot of industry standard type stuff in this niche. Every situation or client seems to need something a little different or a slightly different approach. And so that's where I think a lot of the community stuff comes in, just being able to talk to other photographers in this and say, hey, I have this happening with a client. What would you guys do? That to me is a huge value.
Well, and where can people can find your course? On your Grove website or on your own website?
It's on the Grove Studios website. So meet me at thegrove.com. And at the very top, you'll see a section for courses. And it's the first one on the list there.
All right, cool. So
yeah, you'll get all the information.
It's available today. So for anyone that wants to check it out, go check it out. And you were nice enough to offer our listeners a discount code. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So for the first week that it's launched, so for 1 week from today, the code SHOOT20, so SHOOT20, will get you 20% off. Actually 20% off of that course or the editing course.
Oh, nice. Is it case sensitive or it doesn't matter?
I don't believe it is.
Okay. Well, if it doesn't work one way, try the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So that's exciting stuff. So again, meet me at thegrove.com and you can check out Natalia's new course.
Yeah. And there's so many opportunities to learn in this business. And I know it can be very frustrating and can be very complicated. It seems like it's complicated for new people coming in, and it doesn't have to be. It can be easy by learning from someone experienced like Natalia, myself, Brian and all the groups. And it's just whatever fits into your workflow that you can learn best from.
Exactly. Well, so much about it's just finding the people out there who you
works for
kind
you.
Of resonate yeah. with. Yeah.
All right. Well, Natalia, as we run low on time now, we want to thank you for coming on and sharing a little bit about what you do and where everyone can see you now, since you seem to be all over the place, which is great, for you. I know you for a little while now, so I'm happy for your success, and you got the course now coming out. So everyone check out meetmeatthegrove.com. And what about your own website and Instagram? Where can people see some of your work?
Yeah, my website is nataliarobert.com. And Instagram is also, it's kind of the next biggest place to find me. That's what gets updated more often than my website. And that's just Natalia Robert Photo is my handle on Instagram.
I guess it's part of the thing now. We should be like, what's your Clubhouse handle, right?
Is that a thing? I gotta get on board. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I invited you. So now you're in.
I have no excuses. Damn it. Okay. Great. Keep going, Natalia.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you can find me on Clubhouse since I'm apparently so active there now. And I'm just Natalia Robert on there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. And I want to thank our next sponsor, PhotoUp. Who doesn't like free editing? PhotoUp now offers $100 off free editing to Shooting Spaces listeners. You can choose to work with their team of trained editors starting at just $1 per image, or you can work directly with an editor to have them learn your specific style. Don't need editing help? Well, PhotoUp also provides virtual staging, property websites, photo delivery and website design and development services. PhotoUp even offers specialized virtual assistants starting at $7 an hour. Perfect if you're trying to add and looking on to add an assistant to your help with your administrative and marketing tasks. Head over to photoup.net/shootingspaces to click or click on PhotoUp on the Shooting Spaces website to redeem your $100 free photo credits.
Awesome. And you know what, as we wrap up our season, I want to personally thank, I guess, personally from me and you, Rich, our three sponsors that were with us for this season, HD Photo Hub, who's been with us from the beginning, iGUIDE and PhotoUp. And, you know, we hope all our listeners at least checked out their site. If anything, if they were not in the need for any one of their services, at least go check them out and see what they're about. So again, thank you, Natalia, for coming on. It's always a pleasure chatting, and I know we'll be speaking shortly.
And thank you guys for having me.
Sure. And with that, Rich, another season comes to an end.
Oh, so sad, but I look forward to, yeah, Natalia, exactly. But I'm looking forward to our next season and the next season after that. But thank you so much for coming on. Really interesting information. I think the Grove and everybody these things just are going to help us to become more successful. I think that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And hopefully just spark a whole lot of more community and conversation. That's at the root of it. That's really what it's about.
We'll look back in 3 or 4 or 5 years and we'll just go, what was Facebook? What the heck? It'd be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah. And you'll be a pro at Clubhouse by then.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking forward to. That's okay.
Anyway, so we also got, Rich, 2 days from now is our webinar with Tony Colangelo and Wayne Capilli. We still have some spots left. So for those who have not yet registered, we're doing a photo critique. Register $29.95. Come join us for a night with those two pros and you'll be able to submit your photo and get it critiqued. So shootingspaces.net/photocritique. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. And you can go in. We still have some seats left. And you can register and join us for the night, which will be exciting. I guess an exciting close to the season. Ended off with a little webinar.
Natalia, you're going to join us for our photo critique? Going to submit any photos? Come on, girl.
I hadn't heard of it, but I'm going to go check it out because that sounds really good.
Yeah. We got Tony and Wayne to tell us what's going on with our photos and how better to learn.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'll submit a photo or two in there. I'll go check out the details for sure.
Sure. Amazing. And what else, Rich? That's about it. I mean, you know, even though we're going to stop doing episodes for a while, please submit some Ask the Guys questions. So when we come back next season, we have a nice selection to choose from. If you did submit and we didn't get to you this season, we apologize. Either we ran out of time or we just couldn't answer your question or whatever
our
the case
head exploded.
Exactly. Whatever the case was. But we do apologize, but please send some over while we're on break, because we will do our best to get to them when we come back in a couple weeks. And besides, for the upcoming webinar, we still have all our old webinars for sale. People can go and purchase presets, everything else.
Yeah. And don't forget, ask the guys, man. Come on, send us questions. We really enjoy interacting with our fan base. And Natalia, thank you so much for coming on board, because you're kind of a friend of the family. And we really liked all of the PFRE, Photography for Real Estate, the conferences and such. So I want to thank you for coming and adding to that.
Thank you. It was great to see you guys at PFRE too. And I'm honored to be the one closing out the season with you.
Thanks. Okay. So Rich, after about 130 episodes, I finally figured out your two catchphrases and I'm going to try to have them printed on t-shirts this off season.
Is it like you're going to have my head exploding? How does that?
No, you got two little catchphrases that you say in every episode. And I finally figured them out. I wrote them down and we're going to make some t-shirts and maybe put them up for sale. You ready? First one is
Natalia. I apologize for this. We did not discuss this before.
No. So the first one is, if I can do it, anybody can.
That's one of my catchphrases. Yes.
And then clarification of expectations. That's a newer one. That's a newer one. But I think you say that in every episode.
It's never new in what I believe, though. That's probably the most important thing.
Exactly. So look for those t-shirts alongside our Shooting Spaces mugs in the coming weeks.
I'll definitely
be getting one of those. I'll be getting one of those t-shirts for sure.
Okay.
Have a t-shirt and walk up to your next agent and just stand there and stick your chest out going,
you know what,
clarifications of expectations.
You know what my six-year-old son said to me today? I'm sorry.
Clarification of expectations?
No, we're just going off. So I was, after dinner tonight, I was drinking tea in my Shooting Spaces mug, and my six-year-old comes up to me and goes, "Why do you need a mug like that? You know you shoot spaces."
So I'm gonna have to give me a minute on that one. Okay. Oh boy, you're in big trouble, Brian. There,
yeah,
there with
exactly.
That little boy. Oh,
you should tell me about it. Anyway.
Well, listen, I want to thank Natalia for coming on. Brian, thank you for having me and Rich Baum here, and just telling you all to go out and get clarification of expectations and shoot some spaces.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.